you can tell them about the service we have.
Okay.
We have four lines coming in. Just four lines. You know, if you go down to AT&T and want to buy a four-line system, they're going to sell you a box that sits on the wall and all this expensive stuff. If you say, come wire my office with two modular jacks, each one carrying two lines, you can go Radio Shack and buy a four-line phone for $129. And that means that you can pick that phone system up anywhere you want and plug it in anywhere else you want, and it works. It's that simple. Do not spend $1,000 for phone equipment, or $10,000 for phone equipment, or $100,000 for phone equipment, because it's going to change tomorrow. Plus, when you get to the point where you need more than four lines, you don't want to be there. Let somebody else do it. I mean, go to a company that has a big overhead. What Karen said about answering the phone, if you write an offer or you have an offer out there, you want to hear the voices of those people when they call in. And if they ask you questions, you should write down every question they ask you, because that's something you left out of your offer. And the people who called are just a small fraction of people who didn't call because you didn't answer that question. I have seen people send out offers without company addresses on them. I've seen them send out offers without Visa, MasterCard little emblems. They call them and say, do you accept Visa, MasterCard? And you go, what an idiot I've been. How many people had Visa, MasterCard, wanted to buy from me, and I didn't tell them that I accept Visa, MasterCard? We accept COD. Gary?
I've been with two companies that had the Merlin phone system. We have the Merlin phone system now. And no one in my office, after 2 years, knows how to operate the Merlin phone system. It took a guy coming in, training my staff, 2.5 weeks before we could get the message on the machine that, you know, when we're closed after hours, thank you for calling, we're closed now. And I would just ask that you give some thought before you go spend $15,000 for a Merlin system.
To buy the simplest system you can. And the good thing about the Radio Shack system is that you can buy a phone that's got four lines on it, but you only have to plug in two. And then when you add two more, you just plug them in. If you use a standard modular jack and you have these at your home, they, you know, anybody who calls, say, hold, I'll put you on line three, or hold, she's on line four, it sounds great. But the phones are very inexpensive, and you can buy them down at your local Radio Shack. The whole system is $400. And like, if you decide to move your office, which I guarantee you, every single person in here goes in business, the first 3 years, if you're successful, you're going to move five or six times. If you're maybe you move out of the country because you're going to have too much money, not enough sense. You're going to move several times. You're going to buy a lot of equipment. Go ahead. Now, Karen's going to tell you about why we use AT&T and what we have set up with them.
Okay. The first thing you're going to need, you've got your four lines in there. You want one main, what they call your main telephone number, and a circle hunt system. And that is where...
Now write that down, because if you call AT&T and say, I want to set up a line, even if you only want two lines today.
You want them on circle hunt, which means that if line one is busy, it'll bump onto line two. If line two, it'll go to line three and line four. So no one gets it busy until you've got all four lines. You've got someone on all four lines. That's the circle hunt system. Now, you're also going to want an 800 number that calls into your office. You're going to have to be very careful where you use this number. We have a technical advice service on the
radio. We have an 800 number. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
No, and we have a marketing advice. We do not want people calling us for our free advice on our 800 number. But when we are doing a test mailing, we do want to, and we want to decide that it's going to be profitable to use an 800 number, then we want them to call in on that. Now, our 800 number is a ready watch 800 number, and that means that the 800 number you're given is not on a dedicated line, and it will call in, the 800 number will call in on the first of your four lines and will hit the circle hunt system and go bumping onto all four lines. So your 800 number goes into your number one line, and if that's busy, it'll go onto your number two line, number three line, number four line, so it becomes integrated in your four lines. Now, if you don't ask for the Ready Watts 800 number, they'll give you a dedicated 800 number, which is an 800 number that will have a totally separate line, and you won't be able to take four phone calls. You'll only be able to take one.
You know how much it costs to set up a Ready Watts through AT&T?
$20.
That gives us four incoming 800 numbers.
$20.
We can take four 800 calls. We don't use 800 numbers. In most cases, for very specific offers, you're not going to need an 800 number. As a matter of fact, what we've discovered is that if you have an 800 number, you get a lot more calls and a whole lot less orders. And if you have a regular number, almost every call is an order. Wait, let's get a microphone over here. Yeah, you don't need an 800 number. We got our primarily for our home shopping show and satellite to build customer confidence in our ability. Up here, Jim.
Yeah. Dave Bancroft just asked me a second ago if when you speak you would stand up because he's having trouble spotting you and we really like to see who's talking.
Question, since you utilize a ready hunt system or circle hunt system and an 800 line comes in and bounces around, how do you identify it's coming in on an 800 line?
Or when we get to Bill. When we get to Bill.
That's right, okay.
You're going to know by pretty much by what they're ordering, and you know you are going to set up an order entry system, which we will teach you later on, so that you know specifically exactly where that person's calling in from, exactly what letter he's calling in from, what ad he's calling in from. You have a system in your order entry system that you can keep account of every single order you get, and that's very, very important. We're going to teach you a lot about that in this demo.
Okay, now this is a key point. This is for testing only. You don't want to get in the business of having four lines, four operators on site, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever, because you can't afford the overhead. This is for testing only. When you send out an offer, you want to get a feel of the type of response you're going to get. Once you've got that tested, once you've got a 5,000, a 5,000 is normally a good test. Once you've got that tested, you're going to roll out 100,000. Imagine what happens to our four lines if we mail 100,000 letters tomorrow. In 12 days, what's going to happen? Everybody gets a letter the same day, the same time. We get one shot. They can dial our number. If it's busy, they'll say, I'll call again tomorrow, and it's over. They've forgotten it. So when that happens, when you get ready to mail 100,000 or when you have something that's tested real well, you put it on autopilot. And that's when you use somebody like Mountain West Communications. They have the most pleasant operators you've ever talked to. Everything is on a computer. They record every single word of the conversation in their computer and send you a report of the complete conversation. They will take the order. They'll describe your products in glowing terms. They will accept the Visa MasterCard cards. They will get immediate approval on the phone. If you want them to. Otherwise, they just take the orders and send them to you. If you ask them to, they'll ship your product out to them. And everything is on computer. It's relatively inexpensive. It averages out to about $6 an order for them to accept an order, process a Visa MasterCard, and ship the product. Now, if you are selling 1,000 items a month, it's worth your while. The main reason we went to Mountain West is that we're in a central time zone, and we like to work from 9 to 5. Unfortunately, a lot of our customers on the West Coast, when it's 5 o'clock to us and we're closing down our business, they're not home yet. It's 3 o'clock. And most people don't order mail order until they get home at night and sitting by the couch. So in this latest item we sent out, our catalog, which you see in your box, you notice that the catalog doesn't have it. Our watch pitch that is in your box, it says 24-hour order line. You can order any time at all, and we give you a free gift by ordering by phone.
Now, there's a couple of things you want to remember about service bureaus. You want to have a live person answering your phone. You do not ever want to be having anyone calling out to order your product talking to a machine, not on any circumstances.
Yeah, never use voicemail. Forget voicemail. If you get voicemail, what do? If you're over 50 and you call somebody and you get a machine, what are you going to do? 90% of the time, hang up. And most of our customers are going to be over 50. Most of your customers are going to be over 50. So don't use voicemail.
So when someone calls Mountain West for us, a really nice operator answers the phone and says, Group M order line. And these people have enough information about the product to take the order. Now, if there's any kind of problem, if they want to know more information, that person is immediately going to say, I'm sorry, sir, we're just the ordering service, but Karen and Bill and Sissy are waiting for your call if you'd like to call between working hours, and they'll be happy to answer any questions and immediately give them our telephone number at the office.
And then we get a fax from them immediately that tells us the content of that conversation.
Right, exactly. And every day at 11 o'clock, Mountain West faxes us our orders. Now, the thing about service bureaus is you can use all or any part of them. Mountain West for us simply takes the orders, takes the credit card information, and then faxes that to us. That's where it ends for Mountain West. Because we have merchant status, if we didn't, they could use their merchant account to process the cards, and like Bill said, they could even ship out for you. So you can use just a small part of a service bureau or all of their services, and I recommend that you shop around for service bureaus because, like we said, Mountain West, we like, they're very reliable. I like the way they operate. They're tremendously professional, and their girls are fantastic on the phone, but they're probably not the cheapest one out there, so you should shop around.
Now, the good thing is do we have anybody here from New York? Good. How many people have called somebody, say, on the New York or the East Coast and got a hold of somebody who spoke in Brooklynese and probably didn't have a nice day and were very surly on the phone? Now, that's not because they're rude people, but that's just because that is the custom of that area. I mean, they're not just generally outgoing and really nice people. They're not going to ask you what the weather's like and, you know, what'd you name your firstborn baby. They're going to talk in very short terms to you, and they're not going to be the kind of people that you want to be on the phone with. Mountain West is in Colorado. They don't have an eastern accent. They don't have a western accent. They don't have a southern accent. They're just real nice people. I mean, and that's what we want. We don't want people to hang up because they don't like somebody's accent or because it's a machine. We want to remove every single roadblock that's out there from somebody placing an order with us. That's why we use the 24-hour order line now. And let me tell you, it becomes really addictive. At 11 o'clock, everybody runs by the fax machine to see how many orders are coming
great.
In today.
You know, it really is. It's a real rush when you see these pages of faxes coming in. There's a question right here.
Yes, I have a question. Is Group M Productions a trademarked name?
Group M is the mother corporation, which there are 50 little small corporations, divisions. I mean, it's one big corporation, lots of divisions. So we can be Group M Publishing or Group M Video or Group M Audio or Group M Adult Services or, you know, whatever it is we want to be. As long as we use the word Group M there, it's easy for us to identify. Okay.
Is there a particular reason why you have not trademarked that name?
Actually, when you incorporate, they do a name search on your corporation to make sure that... But the reason I don't trademark, and people ask me about videotapes, why don't I copyright my videotapes, why don't I trademark in several states, United States, and probably it is a big trend. Trademarks and copyrights are being listed as assets, except for they get to decide what the asset is worth and you pay taxes on it. So a trademark, the Coca-Cola trademark is worth a lot of money to the company Coca-Cola, and they pay taxes because that is a trademark. Now, the Group M is incorporated, your corporate will do a name search on your company name, and as long as it's not in conflict with anybody else, you'll get the name and no one else can use it. But it is not, I have not filed a trademark, and I do not register a copyright for my videotapes, because as states and governments become more needy of money to spend, they tend to tax more and more interesting things. And trademarks and copyrights are being taxed now as personal or business property. And you don't have any choice. They can say, well, that videotape, it's worth $30,000. Pay taxes. Or your name, well, it's worth $200,000. You pay taxes. And you don't have any choice. So you want to simplify things. One of the things that Ted talked about was the privacy issue. And one of the things that you're going to learn here is how important it is to keep a low profile. Because once you start making money, you're going to become a target. You're going to become a target of the criminals. And you're also going to become a target of our government. Because the government and the politicians take glee in punishing the rich by taxing them heavily. How many people in here are liberals, consider themselves to be liberals? What you'll discover is that as you start making lots and lots of money, you'll become real conservative. The more taxes you pay and the more things that you see going on, the more conservative you'll be, because you'll want to protect your lifestyle and things around you. So you will want to keep a low profile. Do not buy a Mercedes. Do not buy a Rolls Royce. You know, one of the things we're doing is we're going to pass out a list of all the attendees. We're not putting your personal addresses on that list because we want to protect your privacy. Because if the wrong people saw the list and said, these guys have got money, let's go break into our houses. One of the things that we talk about in one of our videotapes, if you subscribe to magazines like Coin Magazine, does anybody subscribe to Coins Magazine? If there's a Coin Magazine in your mailbox and the wrong person sees it, what are you going to think you got hidden away in your house? Or if you subscribe to a jewelry magazine or anything else that is antique related or anything of value, you have to protect your privacy. People are going to say, these people got money. There's our next target. The next time the riots start, we're going to break in there instead of the shoe store.
I have a question, Mike. My question, I'm looking for some advice now. Because my company name is Worldwide Communications. We've used that name for 12 years now. It's not trademarked. But we are finding that we're getting a lot of 800 calls from other companies that are similar names, Worldwide Telecommunications. We even use the trade name Audio Express. Again, not trademarked, but we found out that there was a sleazy audio dealer down in Texas that was using Audio Express, and we were getting a lot of complaints about that. Is there a suggestion to a name or a name change or a way we can...
Let's take a vote here. How many people think Worldwide Communications says anything that would require you to do business with them? How many people like that name? So what do you think? You ought to change your name? Gary Halbert says use your own personal name in things that you do, or part of your name.
Doesn't that only affect you with the private? I mean,
Gary,
there's a fine line between privacy and reputation. You need, if you are selling you and your business and your services, and you want people to know what you do, you want people to know about your business. You don't want people to know about your home life or, you know, what you do on the weekends. Or there's a fine line between privacy and having your name out there. You've got to have your name out there in any business, you know, a reputable reputation.
But I think it's interesting that nobody likes your name. You know why? Worldwide Communication says nothing. I mean, it's just kind of like... Well, the Group M, we want it that way. So in this town, we don't want anybody to know what Group M is. We don't want business. You are looking for clients,
right,
looking for customers.
Group M is just something.
You know, you
name,
drive by our office,
product,
we don't have a sign
on
the door. We're not in the phone book. The phone company actually charges us not to list our phone. We say, no, don't put us in the phone book. We don't want to be in the phone book because we don't want any local business at all. As a matter of fact, the lower profile we keep locally, the better we like it. You know, it'd be really tempting to put a press release in our local newspaper saying we've got 150 people in town for this seminar and how great it is for Hot Springs. But we don't want that. I mean, yeah, it'd be great for our ego, but there are a lot of people who make their livings at night wearing a black mask and black clothing and carrying crowbars, and we don't particularly want them to know that we've got $150,000 worth of video equipment stuck downtown Hot Springs. So keeping a low profile on one aspect, by the time it's over, you're going to give up your single shot business.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're going to show you how to make real money.
Gary.
I'd like to make a point about the name. If at all possible, you should always use your name in the name of your business. I'm about to form a new corporation. It's going to be called Gary Halbert Advertising. And the reason for that is you want to build some commercial value into your name. Now, I want to tell you something that relates to what Bill just said, though. I've recently made a decision that you're going to find more and more people in the United States making in our business. I don't advertise in Florida. The people in Key West, Florida, have no idea who I am except I'm some weirdo that drives this flamingo-colored Cadillac. And I don't really want, if I captured the entire Key West mail order market, it wouldn't make my rent, you know, so I don't even care about that. And also, there are some big advantages in not doing business in your state. I'm not saying that you should always do that, but I think you should think about it. And, you know, I don't think Bill should use the name Group M Productions. I think he's wrong there. I think the man who's using Worldwide Communications or whatever is wrong, too. And I'll tell you why. Because every piece of advertising that I do that usually has something about the name Gary Halbert in there, and that comes to have a commercial value. Now, let me tell you something about having a commercial value in your name. As a general rule, I think fame sucks. What, you know, maybe if I were a guitarist and my groupies were nubile young maidens, you know, who wanted to sneak up to, but my groupies are people that, like in this room, they're bald-headed, fat, middle-aged old guys, you know, and being accosted by them isn't as much fun. So I don't like to be recognized so much in public, but I like, there is a big value, a utilitarian value, and having people recognize your name. Because I find that because people recognize my name, I'm sure that's true of Ted Nicholas and some other people in this room, that you can get through to people that you wouldn't otherwise get through to. You can get involved in business opportunities you wouldn't otherwise get involved in. So if you use your name in the name of your company, every dollar you spend on advertising, you get a double bang for your buck. Because the next time you go to promote them, see, I have the Gary Halbert newsletter. When I formed Gary Halbert Advertising, which will be done as soon as I get back to Key West, you know, that all fits in there. If I called it, Street Smart Advertising or ABC Advertising, it wouldn't mean anything. So I think you ought to give that some thought. You really ought to give some thought is to not doing business in your state. The truth is, if Bill's company was called Bill Myers Company and he didn't advertise here in Arkansas or wherever we are, that... the people here, he would still have the same anonymity, I believe.
Gary's exactly right, and the only reason that I don't use my name in our company name is that our long-range plan, as set up by our accountant, as set up by our attorney, is that I got into business to get out of business, and I plan to sell the company at some point in the future. You know, we have a very, very liquid, viable company. We have zero debt, a tremendous cash flow, lots of assets, and there will be a time when Karen and I just decide not to work. I mean, we're almost to that point now. I had to dress up for this today.
Some days more than others.
But if you plan to sell your company, you have to be careful not to make yourself the key person. I mean, you have to structure it. I mean, you have to make a decision on your own. Do you want to be the key person, the person, like Gary says, fame is not that much fun. And you can't sell it if you are the only asset of the company. And for me, and I hope for a lot of you, the only business you're going to, the only reason you're getting in business is so that you can get out of business.
Start a new one. Yeah, start a new one.
Like Ted Nicholas. Ted Nicholas just sold his business. He didn't sell it because he was tired of it. He sold it because they probably offered him enough money. There's a letter in this box here that we wrote that we had fully intended to mail out to 100,000 people, but somebody made me a cash offer just to get out of the business. And the offer was high enough that we said, okay, we'll do something else. And that's what will happen. You want to structure it so that if, when somebody offers you enough cash, you go, okay, sounds good to me. We'll go do something else tomorrow. So, okay. Anyway, those are the four things you need. Pretty simple, right? But you got to have them. You got to have your phone system to start up with, and you're going to have your computer system, and you got to have Visa, MasterCard, And number one,
you have to incorporate. Right. Now, we're going to go into every day after we...
printers in action, right. The laser printers in action, you have to see. We use a CD-ROM now for a lot of reasons, but one reason is when we're doing research. For example, here's every issue of Time Magazine since its inception, every article in every issue. So if I'm looking up particular information, I can just type in a word and it'll find it for me. I have something called Magazine Rack. It is 10,000 articles from 300 magazines printed over the last 10 years. And if I'm looking for an article on anything, here it is, the complete entire article. I have the complete Small Business Administration library of books. Every single pamphlet and book published by the Small Business Administration, which most of them are in the public domain, are on this CD. So when I'm having to write a letter or direct mail pitch or looking for statistics on direct mail, there's a whole article about how to get into direct mail here written by the Small Business Administration. It's really interesting, too. But it's right here on this disc. You know what these things cost? Magazine Rack, which has 10,000 articles, costs $80. And this one costs about $80. In your brochure, there's something from a company called, Mailer Software. They have the complete name and address list of everybody in California. You can buy it on a CD. Think about that. Names and addresses of everybody in California on a CD. You can buy the names and addresses. Basically, it's a telephone book of North America. And you can buy that on a CD. So having tools like this would be the tools that we show later on.
And we'll be going over order entry systems. That's my particular baby because I believe if you have the right order entry system, whether you put it on a computer or whether you're writing it on a piece of paper.
You're going to want a library card. We spend 20-30% of our free time in the library looking at books. Here's a good book, Trend Watching. You want books like this specifically, The Complete Guide to Special Interest Videos. Remember we talked about finding a product? Find a market first and then decide what they want. And then if you don't want to produce a video, just call the guy who owns the rights to it and say, sell me your video.
We'll put these books after.
Here's something called Wholesale by Mail Catalog. This costs 99 cents. Can you see the price tag? 99 cents. Here in Hot Springs, there's an outlet mall, and they have the outlet bookstore. That's where I got this for 99 cents. There are several other books that you're going to want. I'm going to cut this short because we're going to have another speaker, and we won't be able to go long enough. We're going to have a speaker, and then we're going to go to lunch, and you're still going to get your hour and a half for lunch because I want everybody to have plenty of time for lunch. As you get more involved in making money, you're going to be interested in things like this, the coming economic earthquake. You need to read writers who talk about weird things happening just so that you can prepare for them. Okay, are there any questions?
We're baffled, don't we?
You seem to be very, you know what you're doing. How long have you been doing this, and what do you contribute to the success that you're having now?
It's been 6 years since I've had a job, and becoming unemployed probably contributed more to my success than anything else. Most people who are unemployed or have money coming in have no incentive to be a success. That's a problem with the welfare system. There's no incentive to be a success because if you fail, you can't fail. And that's kind of the problem of having a job. As long as you got money coming in, you can dabble in direct mail. And if it fails, so what? You got your job coming. You got your job, it's going to give you a little bit of money. But become totally, absolutely unemployed with no money coming in from any source, and you'll be surprised about how much work and how intense you'll get involved in this and how intense you'll try to be a success. And that's how you learn. And just like Ted Nicholas, you fail, you want to fail forward. I mean, everything you learn is like on-the-job training. Every time you learn something and it doesn't work, you're going to go, boy, I'm glad I learned that. Sure, I'm glad I learned it now on a small set of 5 years now when I got real big and I wouldn't be able to handle this. It's like setting up a computer.
As far as the details go, the reason that we do the things the way we do in our office is our number one goal is to simplify our life. And it's always prevalent. We're always looking for ways to make it simpler, make it easier. Will it work better this way? And through a long process of trial and error and orders coming in, you just learn the stuff. You read the information people send you, and if your number one goal is to simplify your life and everything you do, you will automatically pick the easiest choice and then we'll fit together.
Yeah, direct mail is not a contest to see who can make the most amount of money in the least amount of time. Basically, it is a way of living. And it's a lifestyle that you choose. It's a lifestyle that means you don't have to have a job, you don't have to have an office, you don't have to dress up, you can wear t-shirts and shorts and tennis shoes, you can buy exercise equipment if you want to, you can go running at night if you want to, you don't have to worry about big business meetings, you don't have to worry about hundreds of employees, you can just do what you want. And you can do it on any level you want. If you're satisfied with making $5,000 a month clear with direct mail, that's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I think that is great. What's that goal? But if you say, I want to make $5,000 a month, let's do 30 into 5, that means I got to make, how much is that? That's about $250 a day, $300 a day net, something like that. That's not too hard to do. No, that's more than that. If you make $300 a net times 30, that's $15,000 a month, so you have to make less than that. And that's the way to look at it. Don't look at it about how much you got to make this year. Just say, how much do I got to make today? Well, you know, like our office, we say, we want to clear $1,000 a day, every day.
And you
including Saturdays
growing.
And Sundays, we get greedy.
You never stop learning.
Yeah. So don't set your huge goal, say, I got to make $1 million this year. Say, you know what I want? Is I want $100 a day coming in every single day of the week, regardless of whether I'm in the office or I'm out surfing or whether I'm down in New Zealand visiting Karen's parents. I want the money coming in no matter what. I don't want any headaches, I don't want any hassles, I don't want all this other stuff. I just want that. And then when you get to that, you say, you know, that's nice, but if I could just double it, and then you come up with another project. And that's how it builds. You don't start making, you know, $70,000 a month or $50,000 a month. You start making $100 a day. First order, you need that first order coming in. And the business works, if you can get that first order, you can probably get a whole lot more. But getting that first order sometimes is pretty hard. It takes a lot of planning and playing. No, there's no such thing as a minimum. We like 5,000 because when you buy lists from people, the question was testing, is there a minimum 5,000? The reason we use 5,000 is that people who sell mailing lists, and we're going to have someone speak about mailing lists today, is that normally they want you to buy a minimum of 5,000 names. And when they speak, they'll tell you how you can buy those 5,000 names.
Sometimes it's difficult to get less than 5,000 names.
Right.
And you really need 5,000 for a good overall test. You need a good number, and 5,000 is a good number, to get a good response rate.
What you want to happen is mail 5,000 letters and get 500 phone calls. That's not going to happen. Industry-wide, the professionals, the big companies, average a 1.7% response rate. 1.7% is industry-wide. That's order rate.
Order rate.
1.7 order rate.
When you're sending out the type of letter we're talking about, you're asking for an order.
But you'll discover that most people in this room, the experts, score a lot higher than that. And there's things that we're going to show you how to do the same thing. One last question.
This is my first experience. I've been studying at home on different courses of marketing, etc. But almost, I would say, from listening to the meeting so far, what's been said, it seemed to me like we better plan first what you're going to do with the money when you make it. Because we have Uncle Sam facing us. IRS is watching everybody. And when you get going a little bit and the words gets out, you'll be marked by the IRS. I know from experience. They got a million and a half dollar suit against me. We've been fighting it for 2 years. We're going to win. They think they're going to get me, but they're not. But I was going to say, speaking of a good attorney, there's a lot of attorneys out there, and a lot of them are hungry. And there's a lot of them don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So you want to get a good tax attorney, I would say, to set your corporation up. And then if you can get a good CPA who was an ex-IRS agent. Now, I know I have two. I have three CPAs working for me. One does my books. Another one turns it over to an ex-agent. He knows all the ins and outs. Then I have another one that meets, pleads with my cases before the IRS, who is well known all over the country. He's in Pocatello, Idaho. One was in Clearwater, and and one's in Fort Myers, where I live in Florida. And they you want to get one that knows what's going on, I can tell you now.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel you're being punished because you are a success?
I beg your pardon?
Do you feel you're being punished by the government? I mean, the government's philosophy seems to be...
Absolutely. Harassment, the worst kind of a case.
That's right.
I was... The news media heard about it, and they interviewed me 3-4 weeks ago, and I was on prime time for an hour program here a couple of weeks ago, exposing them. But there's definitely harassment. And you would not believe what they're harassing me. Everything we bring up, they bring it up when we prove, and liars, nothing but a bunch of damn liars. Then a few weeks later, they come up with some more liars, and we have to go answer that. And that's been going on for 2 years. It all started with my wife's death, and they were the blame for my wife's death. The IRS agent scared the hell out of her. Going to take everything away, and she hadn't practiced medicine in 20 years. But this girl went down and found that on the records in the courthouse that we'd sold a lot of property, and that started it. And when they scared her good that she was going to take everything they had, she had a hemorrhage in her belly, and we lost her. And that was 2 years, September 2 years ago. Just remember, they're watching you every day and night.
Heed this man's words.
Don't trust any of them.
America's changing. You hear the politicians every day say, we're going to tax the rich. The problem is, the rich used to be up here, and now the rich is here. And that level that used to be rich, if you make more than $35,000 a year, you're going to be part of that group that they call rich, and you're going to be the one to get taxed. Not only do they tax you, they're going to come after you. And you do have to plan. You have to prepare for this. And we have friends. I know we've talked to people. We have friends that have left the country. They felt like they've been forced out because they are now, they feel like they are being chased by the government. The government just won't leave them alone. They just can't get away from them. I know that you probably feel that way right now. I feel that you should pay all the taxes you should pay. Yeah. But no, it's going to be a reality, because if you do make money, and you know that's the reason you're here, is to make money, and I hope that you all make money. But you cannot spend that money for yourself. You basically cannot even pay yourself. So it's the lifestyle that's important. I mean, the money is nice because you can build a very liquid, asset-rich corporation, and you can enjoy the lifestyle that you can enjoy by being the owner of that corporation, but you cannot pay yourself cash until you sell out. I mean, we had our corporation set up.
I can tell you one more thing. From now on, please watch it, because you're going to have an IRS agent right in the meeting getting all the dope right fresh. And they do it.
When the IRS agent, please,
they infringe upon every meeting they can.
That's right. That's right.
Bill, real quickly, earlier you'd said that your attorney should set up your accounting system. Is there a particular type of attorney that is competent in setting up an accounting system? I mean, are they just going to turn around and call their neighborhood accountant and say, hey, how do I go about doing this?
You should consider this. If you ever get audited, or if you ever get charged, or if you ever get indicted, who do you want on your side? Think about that before you pick an attorney. Just don't go through the phone book. Find somebody who is a tax, a CPA, or I mean, a tax attorney. There are a lot of them who are tax attorneys who work and specialize in nothing but tax cases.
Okay, so basically when you're talking about structuring your accounting system, you're structuring your tax system.
Yeah, and don't you make the decision. I mean, you make the decision on picking the attorney, but you let the attorney decide how your accounting should be done. Put it in his hands and make it his responsibility. That's right. You'll have to look to find a good one, but it's so important.
Ted.
Yeah, Bill, I just wanted to comment. I think it's certainly the case that the IRS is not, there's a lot of abuses that go on with the IRS, and a lot of innocent people are caught in the web of problems with the IRS. Now, my personal experience is that the IRS, most of the people that work for the IRS are okay people. It's the system that is the problem. And I think it's very important that all you can do as a business owner is to set up the company in such a way, first of all, the best friend you have is a real good accountant. I think your books and records have to be good. I think you should take every legitimate deduction. You were talking about investing in equipment. You know, under the current laws, one of the things that's helped me in my life right at the moment is I've been able to put about 25% of the earnings in my company away for me and my employees in benefit plans and profit sharing plans and so forth, and that money is compounded, and that has become a very good source of my current assets. That's perfectly legal and ethical to do, and that's what you should do. In other words, I believe you should pay every single penny in tax, and no one in the world resents paying taxes more than me. My ads have been cited in the Congressional Record for showing people how to legally avoid tax. One of my ads is called, deals with a sub-S corporation. You may have seen it or may even have bought the book. And the IRS didn't like the fact that I've spent a couple of $1 million promoting and advertising a legal loophole. Perfectly legal. They didn't do anything to me, per se, except say, see, ads like this, and they're citing my ad, is bringing to the attention of the people that they can have. Now, it's amazing that we live in a country where you can't even talk about what's legal to do without somebody giving you a hassle. But I think that there's a balanced view. I think you can operate a business. You can be very successful as long as you pay every penny in tax, have clean books and records. And another thing I see a lot of my friends do, if the IRS calls you, see, a lot of people feel if the IRS calls, you want to be open and honest because you haven't done anything wrong, right? So they invite them in and they show them. Never do that. If the IRS calls you, say, look, I know I'm going to be busy for at least 2 months, which you're entitled to do as a taxpayer, and have your representative speak with the people, not yourself, and ask your representative to make sure you get as much from them in writing as possible. Don't let them come on a fishing expedition into your place, because they'll maybe make a mountain out of a molehill when there isn't any real problem. In other words, treat the IRS, use your rights as the IRS. Are you familiar with the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights? You have rights as a citizen. Don't, you know, use those rights and handle yourself in that way, and you shouldn't have a lot of problems with the government agencies.
Exactly,
like
right.
The IRS.
You know, we had a very pleasant experience with the IRS last year. We had received 3 phone calls for a scheduled audit, and on all 3 occasions, the agent did not show up. And we went to the IRS and said, hey, we've been scheduled for an audit. The guy didn't show up 3 times. Tell us what's going on. And they have a computer, and they typed in our business code number. And they said, you're not scheduled for an audit. We'd like you to speak to someone. And they let us speak to someone in their frauds department. And there's a common scam in this country. It's the IRS doesn't like this, and it's really bad for the IRS. People will call you up claiming to be IRS agents, come to your office, and they'll do one of 3 things. They'll either show up on the audit day, look at your books, they'll shake their heads and say, boy, are you in trouble. You could end up in prison for this. But I'll tell you what, you seem like a nice guy. And if you'll settle right now for $4,000 or $5,000, whatever, cash, we'll set it in the computer so that you never get audited again. And too many businessmen will fail for that. I mean, we'll go for that and pay someone who's a supposed agent cash. And the guy walks out, and he never hears from the IRS again. He thinks, great. But he was scammed. Because there wasn't an IRS agent, he was just paying somebody. Or, now that's scenario 1. Scenario 2 is they say, we want you to be in your office at 9 o'clock, have your wife there with all your records. You're sitting in your office at 9 o'clock waiting for this guy to show up. You know where he is? He's in your house with a pickup truck loading up everything you got. Or 3, if you're going through a divorce or a property settlement, guy calls you up, says, I'm with the IRS, we need to come check your books. You say, okay, come on over. He checks your books. He provides all the information to your ex-wife's attorney or whoever's suing you attorney, and all of a sudden they've got you. So the IRS agent told me, he said, we will never contact you by the phone. It's an official meeting, official business. It will always be by the mail. He said, never. He said, if we do contact you by the phone, never reveal your Social Security number to us. If we don't know your number, then we're not the IRS. He said, if somebody calls you and says, I'm with the IRS and we're double-checking your records, and what is your Social Security number? Never, never, never give it to them, because they know it before they call. So you need to avoid scams, Gary.
I'd like to make a couple of points about the IRS. I have fought with the IRS night and day for about 25 years. And my most recent fight was a $600,000 fight, and I not only won it, I got a refund check from them. I want to tell you a couple of things that most attorneys, hardly no attorneys, know about the IRS. First of all, the IRS isn't this big, omnipotent, all-knowing, intelligent organization that has your bathroom bugged and everything else. The IRS is basically overweight women wearing pink slippers with little bunny faces on them shuffling around. And the way to deal with the IRS is not to outsmart them so much as it is to discourage them. Now, a lot of you probably didn't know this, but you can discharge back taxes through bankruptcy. Your attorney doesn't know that, but you really, really can do that. I'll tell you another thing, too, is that the IRS is a profit-minded organization. I agree with Ted. They are not all of these evil people. They're just mostly normal people that work for the IRS. They really are. And they work on a profit and loss basis. And it's just like in your business, if you have debts that are owed to you, you do not waste all your time on the low percentage collectible debts. You go after the people that it is easy to collect from. And that's exactly the way that the IRS looks at it. The tax burden in the United States is not onerous anymore. It used to be, but it really isn't that onerous. If you have a corporation and you're making a profit and you're taking legitimate deductions, you should have no bitch about paying the taxes. Another thing I'll say to you also is that if you are worried about privacy and you are worried about taxes and you haven't been to the Cayman Islands recently, you ought to take up the sport of scuba diving and spend some time over there. One final thing, and I'm not going to do it here for the record, but if any of, you know, I've been in business for 25 years, and we have a lady in Los Angeles who is absolutely the best accountant I have ever found. And if you'd like to have her name and telephone number, see me sometime before the seminar is over, and I'll give it to you, because she saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars and done it all legitimately. But don't get yourself all paranoided out over the IRS. Basically, what you should do is file a corporation, take your legitimate deductions, pay your taxes, and not sweat the rest of it. Would you agree with that, Ted?
I agree with that, too. Excellent. Set yourself up right. I mean, with a corporation, like Gary says, keep excellent records. Don't try to hide anything. Play above the board. And that's why we use what's called checkbook accounting. Every single penny goes into one account. Every single penny goes out over that same checkbook, and there's no attempt to hide anything.
And you'll sleep well at night.
Well, you'll sleep well at night. You don't want to live where you're worried about somebody knocking on your door. We're going to take a 5-minute break, just stand up, maybe go outside and get a drink of water, come back in here, and then we're going to continue for a few minutes.